on this earth. Father, as we serve you and as we want to be good, diligent workers, Lord, whether it's voluntary or whether it's paid, Lord, help us to excel in all that we do. And as we give out of, Lord, as we give out of our hearts to you, Lord God, receive these gifts with grateful, thankful hearts and help us to use them more effectively for enlarging your kingdom and sharing the good news of the gospel, especially this Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Joel. The smartest dressed man in the room. That's not me, that's Joel. Every Sunday morning when he comes, I say, Joel, you're looking really smart today. He's obviously been given a great fashion taste by his parents. Do you know, we learn a lot from our parents. Some things we don't even realize that we learn. Do you realize you look like your parents? You know, there is something you inherit from your parents. There is something we learn from our parents. I'm looking at a family here and thinking I can recognize some family familiarities. And so as we celebrate Christmas, do people recognize something of the family of God in you? Is there something of the good news of the gospel that shines forth this Christmas? You know, yesterday Egan was brought to a standstill as Norman wore a costume. It wasn't just Norman. There was loads of other people as we had the open air nativity outside the United Church with the brass band and with the scouts. And, you know, there was a great big scoutmaster. He must have been 6'2" tall, dressed as an angel with great big golden wings. And he proudly spread those wings.
Just like this.
He spread those wings so that everybody could see joy to the world. I couldn't work out the title of my sermon this morning, so I'm going to give you two titles. It's either a gift, the promise of a gift, or the gift of a promise. I couldn't work out which way round it needed to go. So you get both titles. The gift of a promise and the promise of a gift. Now, that's a complicated sentence. We know what gifts are. There are going to be gifts given out. I can see gifts at the table as we're blessing one another and as we're giving to one another. There are gifts on the table. There's gifts from Arash as well. Thank you, sir, for being generous to us. And Letty can tell you more about that in a moment. But do you know what? A gift is an intentional thing. You never give a gift by mistake. You never go, oops, sorry, I didn't mean to give you that. We don't do that. Gifts are intentional. And do you know what? Sometimes we can give gifts and they're worth very little, but they're worth an enormous amount. Because it's the thought and the love that we give as we give. Do you know what? The gift that I'm talking about this Christmas, the gift of the promise that was talked about in Isaiah, it was talked about in the Old Testament, it said, God will send someone. God will send a rescuer. Let's first start in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. And I'm going to rattle through a few scriptures here. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child by the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting her to have a public... to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But whilst he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall conceive with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. And did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So this was fulfillment of a promise. A virgin conceives by the Holy Spirit. That was promised, and the promise is a gift. The gift is the Son, Jesus. Now, at the time Jesus was born, we as humankind did not know the significance of his birth. We didn't know that God was making a way to pay the price for our sin. Adam and Eve made poor choices in the Garden of Gethsemane, in the Garden of Eden. I've done that before. I've got the gardens mixed up. That's an easy thing to do, I suppose. The Garden of Eden made a poor choice. And as they made a poor choice, sin entered the world. And shame entered too. As God walked around the garden, he said, "Where are you?" And where were Adam and Eve? They were hiding. They were covering themselves because they were ashamed. Do you know what? We do not need to be ashamed because of Jesus. He has paid the price. He goes all the way to the cross. From Christmas to Easter, he goes from being born in a stable, wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger, calling the most ordinary of people, shepherds, to come and worship him, calling the wise men to come and worship him, going all the way to the cross and paying the price for you and me, that we might no longer have to pay the price for sin and know resurrection life as he rose again on Easter. And so we know in Luke chapter 2, as it was said, "For there is born to you in this day, the city of David, a Saviour who is Christ the Lord." This was prophesied. It wasn't just prophesied that he was going to be born, but where he was going to be born. "And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men.'" You know, I love it when angels appear in Scripture. I like getting Christmas cards with angels on, because it talks about God's purpose, God's plan. It doesn't have to be us. It's not all down to us. If God can't do it through a man, he'll do it through an angel. But his plans will be outworked. They will be fulfilled. This day, we can recognize Christ as our Savior. We can recognize the significance of the child that was laid in a manger and wrapped in swaddling clothes. These were the signs to say you will find a child wrapped in swaddling clothes laying in a manger. Why do we need a gift? I'm sure you know someone this Christmas who, when you said, "What would you like for Christmas?" they said, "Oh, I don't really need anything, thank you very much. I'm quite content." So why do we need a gift? Why do we need the gift of the promise of Jesus? Why do we need that gift? We need that gift because God needs to make a way that we might have fellowship with him. And we have fellowship through his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God, Son of Man, conceived by the Holy Spirit of a woman, a pure woman, Mary. Fully God, fully man. He experiences our pain. He knows our suffering. But he also knows how to move the world. He knows how to move the earth. And what does this lead us all to? This leads us all to some of my favorite parts of Scripture in Romans. Romans chapter 5, it says this: "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So the access is through Jesus, that which we're celebrating this Christmas. Yet another Christmas, Christmas 2024. Justified by faith in him. Through him we also have access by faith into his grace, in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. You might say, "Dave, why are we talking about on the Sunday before Christmas troubles and challenges? Anybody got a trouble or a challenge going on this week? Anybody? Only a few hands? Lots of hands. Okay, lots of hands. Yeah, we have troubles. And let's not ignore it. Let's not ignore the fact that we've got a challenge. Let's press in, because God said there will be tests. Those tests will come. But what comes from working through these things? Perseverance. Tribulation produces perseverance. Guys, I want to say, keep on going. For those listening at home, I want to say, keep on going. If you're running out of patience, ask God for patience. If you're running out of love, ask God for love. If you're running out of hope, ask God for hope. If you're running out of money, well, why not just ask God and say, Lord, I need a source. I need a supply. I need a provision. God's an amazing God, and he loves you and me. That's why he sent his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And perseverance produces character. You know, character is employable. If you've got a good character, it shines forth in your life. People will say, I want someone else like you. Do you know anybody else like you? I'd like another one of you. That's the best recommendation you can ever have, is I'd just like another one of those, another worker like you. And perseverance produces character. Character leads to hope, and hope does not disappoint. That's the point of hope. Hope lifts our eyes up. You know, when people are without hope, their eyes are down. They're looking at the floor. When people have been overwhelmed, they will look at their feet in shame sometimes. And when they look at their feet, sometimes I want to say to people, look at me. Look at me. I want to bring some fresh hope into your life, because hope does not disappoint. And as hope does not disappoint, love is imparted into our world. It's interesting that Joel started our service off with a verse from Christina Rossetti, which I'm now going to quote again, which is from the Christmas carol, In the Bleak Midwinter. And as he sung, and as I read again, what can I give him? Remember, a gift and a promise. What can I give him, small as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. Logical for a shepherd to bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. What part did the wise men have? They brought gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. They talked of Jesus' kingship, and the fact that he was going to die, and the fact that he was going to rise again from the dead. But what can I give him? I'll give my heart. What can I give him? What do I have? What do you have in your hands? Well, it's very simple. We can look at John 3:16. Here's a gift that really matters. For God so loved the world. Are you in the world? Anybody not in the world today? Okay, so that's for you and me. God so loved you and me. Let's change it to world, to you and me. And I'm talking to everybody. God so loves and loves, and it's a continuous present tense, so it's not just the past. It's not he loved us and he doesn't love us anymore. He loves us today and he will continue to love us in the future. For God so loved the world that he gave a gift, a promise, his only son. Not one of many sons, his only son. That whosoever... Are we part of whosoever? Yes, we're part of the crowd. For whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. So the purpose of this was not to shame us, not to condemn us. One of the things about coming into the presence of God is often we feel we're aware of our sin. We're aware of our shortcomings. We're aware of how we fall short. But God did not send Christ so that we might be condemned. That's what the enemy does. The enemy loves to condemn us and go, see, you're no good. And God sent his one and only son to say, but I still love you. I still love you. But that the world through him might be saved. Saved from what? Saved from sin. Let me read it in a different version, because I really, you know these verses, but in the Amplified version, for God so great, and maybe we could just close our eyes for a few moments. I want to read these words over us. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave up his only begotten unique son, so that whoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, and relies on him shall not perish, come to destruction, be lost without hope, but have eternal, everlasting life. The promise of everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world in order to judge. There it is. He didn't send his son to judge us. That would bring us to condemnation, but to reject, to condemn, to pass sentence on the world, but that the world might find salvation and be made safe and sound through him. And that's the gift that God sent us through Mary. And when the angel came to Mary, she said, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to carry this child, but if it be unto your will. And so as I close out what I want to share today, I want to just ask us to close our eyes and think of the gift. Think of the gift. Remember that the promise is from a reliable promise maker. He who promised is faithful. He who promised is reliable. He who promised will follow through. For God so loved you. God so loved me. God so loved all those who are watching. God so loved those who are outside, who aren't even in the meeting, who aren't even listening to us. And that's one of the reasons why we shout this out across the airwaves in different languages around the world. That God so loved us, you and me, that he sent his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. So there's a response to the gift, and there's a response to that promise. It says, what can I give him, poor as I am? Well, if I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet, what can I give him? Give my heart. Give of yourself. And so whether it's those listening online at home or those in the room, if you want to commit yourself afresh to Christ today, I'm going to ask you to stand. Maybe you've never done this before. Maybe you've never, and what a great receiving of a Christmas gift. That we'd say, well, I want to receive this child. I want to recognize who Jesus is, the Son of God, the living Son of God. And I want to declare that I believe in him and I put my trust in him and I turn from my bad ways and I put my trust in him. And if that's you, I'm going to pray right now. Thank you, Lord, for those who are responding today. Father, I pray that, Lord, you'd help them and help us to help them. To disciple them, as it says in Matthew, go ye into all the world and make disciples. Father, help us to teach one another to be better disciples. Help us to show people the way, the truth, and the life that is Jesus. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge or reject or condemn, but that we might find salvation in him. Amen. Letty.